a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
This morning, little get-together, do's and don'ts of this committee. Prior to getting started, I will ask Jeanette, our secretary, to call a roll.
Here.
Heikert.
Here.
Wolchek. Magstad.
Here.
Musterman.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Roush.
Here.
Trent, excuse Cornell.
Here.
Thank you, Jeanette. It's a quick little housekeeping. I want to welcome everybody to local governments as well as to introduce and identify Jeanette, who will be your secretary for local governments, as well as Fred Botts. He is our assigned LRC representative. We will deal with an awful lot of diverse issues in local government. Personally, I'm extremely pleased to be back at this committee. We have a great board. In my absence, Representative Cronin will have the gavel. I do foresee a time or two that I will be the prime sponsor of a bill, and at that time, I certainly will relinquish the gavel as well as take proponent testimony from the seat. Any committee members that are prime sponsor of a bill, whether it's in local governments or any other committee, I would encourage you at that time to politely remove yourself from that seat and take that proponent testimony from the other side. The issues that we will face, like any other committee, certainly are important. I can assure you, though, when we start at 10 o'clock and the gavel will come down at 10 o'clock, there will be no reason whatsoever that this committee will ever run past 12 o'clock. We try to be extremely efficient as possible. Representative Cronin and myself will review any proposed bills that this committee will be having on that day and do all the notification that we possibly can, but more specifically to that prime sponsor of a bill, because precedence will go before any paid lobbyist or any representative any public testimony that is coming from out of town. They certainly, if they're showing up to their capital, they will in fact have every opportunity to present and propose their legislation. I want to remind everybody in this committee as well in the audience that we are live and on the internet. I would hope that the decorum in any words are just that. Once in a while something will slip, but if it does slip, we don't have the ability to retract that. Remind this committee as well as audience members, cell phones are certainly going to be off or on buzz. Please direct any questions, comments, or feedback both from out in the audience as well as this committee through Representative Cronin or myself to seek the ability to interject or to have some communication with that. We do not have any minutes to approve yet, but hopefully that we will. We are blessed this morning. We are going to have a quick update from Secretary of State Jason Gantt. He will be a regular on either the green or the red side of any proposed legislation. We have representatives from the county officials, the county commissioners, and I believe the townships and the municipal league. Any questions prior to getting started? Like I said, this morning will be a little awkward. Awkward is not the best word. Not totally full of protocol because we are not having proponent or opponent testimony. But as far as rules and regulations, this committee will hear all proponent testimony. Then we'll turn it over to opponent testimony. And then, in fact, this committee will be allowed the opportunity to ask any questions that they have, both pros and cons of that. So I guess we're ready for a little introduction from Secretary of State Jason Gantt. Good morning, Mr. Secretary. Jeanette? Oh, I'm sorry. We do have two pages. Thank you. One, I forgot her name, so if you could come up, introduce yourself. Come up here and sit down, and welcome and thank you for all that you're doing.
I'm Brittany Fisher from TRIP.
I'm Samantha Haverly from Rapid City.
Welcome. Thank you for all that, that you're doing. Mr. Secretary of State Jason Gant. Last time we were blessed to see you, back then it was Senator Jason Gant. We had a Senator Jason Gant day, and he did provide us with donuts. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be here. And, of course, your fine, top-notch memory of remembering donuts from last time, and I didn't bring donuts today. But good thing is, I didn't bring any legislation either, so we'll mark that up as a win-win for us. I'm very excited to get started this year. My office has been very busy. We've been putting together our legislation. I've been putting together staff. It's been quite a whirlwind since the swearing-in and getting everything going, but very excited and very driven and looking forward to working with all of you on any type of election issues or business service issues or other administrative services that my office is in charge of. We're there to help. If you have ideas on making it better, please do not hesitate to give me a holler. Stop in the office. Visit with any of the staff. They will assist you in any way. I know last week, as a administrative reminder, we talked about some of the forms that you all have to submit as elected officials. We will be keeping an eye on that, as well as your campaign finance reports, to make sure all that information is filed in the office. If you don't file, it is a $50 a day fine. So those can add up very quickly, but I want to make sure we don't have any fines and make sure everyone gets their information in-house and on time. One of the things that I was very proud of during my legislative career was really being a major advocate for open government and transparency, and I intend on doing that as well as Secretary of State. There are so many documents that come into my office, and so many of those just get put into a drawer. But it's all public information, so if you wanted to see that, I'd open up the drawer and let you look at it. What I would like to do is try and make that more accessible, so that if you're sitting at home and it's 2 in the morning and you want to see a certain document that's on file in my office, that you would be able to do that. So we're going to continue to be very open, very transparent. Some of the big things on the agenda, the website, we're going to be doing a massive change there, which will accomplish my goals of making it more open and transparent, more easy to navigate. The things that you're really looking for on the website are going to be much easier to get to. Right now, some of the main locations on our website to get the most hits, you actually have to click through about 3 or 4 different times to get to that page. Well, if people are clicking on that and wanting to see that page, we need to move that page up higher so that it's easier for the public. So we're going to be getting to work on that. Campaign finance, I'm working with some different groups to try and get an entirely new system for how our campaign finance reports are filed with the office. Right now, there is way too many man hours that have to go through with getting those documents up on the internet. It should be a very simple system, and I'm going to make it a simple system. And then also making it very easy for you as some of the as legislators and as the people who are using that site and filing that information in the highest quantity. We're doing a lot of exciting things in our business services area. This committee, we're usually going to be talking about election issues and different things there, but I'm also in charge of all the corporate filings and all the annual reports, all that information that is filed with my office. Right now, again, it's all done by hand. We need to get that onto the computer so that it's much easier for the consumer to get that done, and in turn, saving the taxpayers money. And at the end of the day, that's what I believe my number one goal is to save taxpayers money anytime and every time we can. a number of other areas. The concealed weapons issue that came up right after the first of the year, there will be legislation on that, and some ways that we can make that easier for people who want to get a concealed weapon, to streamline that process so it isn't quite so time-consuming on the consumer's part, and also making sure that our reciprocity agreements with other states are available and that we can expand that. So we'll be looking at different areas there as well. And even the notaries. I mean, the process that we have there, it's an extremely important job once you become a notary, and we need to look at how that process goes through. And again, we're going to make that more efficient and save some money. My budget, which I won't go before this committee on, but there are going to be some challenges. My office brings in the range of $5 million a year to the state government, to the state general fund, and there's a lot of paper that I have to produce. I mean, I have to produce a certificate. I have to put the state seal on certain things. So when I've been going through with the office and trying to see where we can cut, some of those things are going to be hard. We obviously don't want to stop putting the seal on official documents. We all also have to have an official document. So a lot of exciting things. Looking forward to coming to the committee. And if the good chairman continues winking at me, I'll sit here even longer. But I do intend, if the chairman so desires and requests, if there is a big election day and you guys have to listen to me constantly all morning, we will definitely bring treats of some kind. So with that, Mr. Chairman, a lot of exciting things, and I could talk up here for hours, but you don't want to listen to me. So if there's any questions or anything, you sure just give me a holler.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there questions for Secretary Representative Cronin?
Just for thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary, the dates of the filings, if you could, for everyone on the committee and have them write it down.
Absolutely.
And then also, could you just spend a couple minutes talking about the change in the organization of the Secretary of State's office? There's no deputy anymore, and kind of who to talk to about certain issues.
You bet. The first dates, for those of you who were here for the inaugural on January 8th, you have 15 days from then, which was the 23rd, which is a Saturday or something, so that following Monday, which must have been the 25th, your statement of financial interest is due in the office. If you were sworn in on January 11th, which was the first day of the legislature, it is due on the 26th. Best case scenario, if you haven't submitted your financial statement form, print it out. You should have it on your email and send it down to my office today, and you won't have to worry about the deadline. Second deadline, February 1st, your campaign finance reports are due. This is all the money that you have received or spent since your last filing. Your last filing would have been sometime that last week of October. I think the deadline was the 22nd of October. But you could have started submitting on the 18th. So whatever day you had a cutoff there for your pre-general finance report, up until 5 p.m. on December 31st, that information is due in my office by February 1. Historically, the office has had a deputy. I chose not to have a deputy, and I did a reorganization within the office. I divided into three main areas. Elections, which, of course, are very time-sensitive and very in-depth. Most people think we just are busy on primary and general election. In your even-numbered years, not true. We have school board elections coming up. We have city elections coming up. We have bond elections coming up, so we've been involved in all of that. Complaints are coming to our office, concerns, so we're handling all that with elections. The other biggest area is our business side, which is all your corporate filings, the UCC filings, all that information down in the basement for all the corporate stuff. And thirdly, just kind of a catch-all with operations, which includes the notaries, the trademarks, accounting, IT, those types of areas. So I feel by dividing my office into those three main areas, I'm able to get more done and more focus on each of those three areas than having one point person to try and be the person in charge of all of that.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Additional questions for Secretary Gant? Thank you. Hearing none, prior to introducing our next featured speaker, I just want to encourage this board, if you ever want my attention to be acknowledged and ask a question, stick that neck out. I can certainly see you and acknowledge you at that time. Next, we could have Mr. Howard. He represents the South Dakota
Association.
Morning, Mr. Howard.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard, and I am representing the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. I'm sure you're all familiar with townships. There are 919 organized townships within South Dakota. They're more densely situated in the eastern part of the state, but I think about two-thirds of them are West River, or excuse me, one-third's West River and about two-thirds are east of the river. The main responsibilities for townships are roads and bridges and fire protection, and a few of them provide ambulance service. But by far and away, the largest responsibility is roads and bridges. Townships have about 34,000 miles of road that they're responsible for. Some of them are not in very good shape now. If any of you have been in the, particularly the northeastern part of the state where we've had the severe flooding, there's still roads there that are underwater, and there are a lot of them that have just almost been destroyed. So townships get their funding from basically two sources. They receive about 1.5% of the total property tax that's paid in South Dakota. And for 2010, that amounted to about $14 million. They also get a portion of the license plate fees. They get about 75% of the license plate fees. Local governments get all of the license plate fees. Counties get about 67%, townships 17%, and cities get 16%. On property taxes, the townships have been trying to raise money to work on the roads. There have been 626 opt-outs, townships that have opted out since the freeze went in effect in 1997. Those townships have been located within 45 different counties. The total amount of the opt-outs, the 626, is about $6.5 million. And so that averages a little less than $10,000 per opt-out per township. So they have been increasing their property taxes in order to try to fund transportation. Certainly, the major issue for townships this year is to try to get some funding for roads and bridges. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. Any questions for
Mr. Leader?
Yes. Thank you. That's got a nice ring to it. Chairman would be just fine.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. Question. Could you go over again the license fees, how that comes back to the counties and townships? What percentage would you repeat that again?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative Tolson, the license plate fees are distributed in two different actions. 42.5% of the license plate fees that are collected stay in the county in which they're collected. And that's distributed by formula in the statute where townships get 14%, municipalities get 5%, and townships get 22.5%. I think that should add up to 41.5%, not 42.5%. The 58.5% is sent to the Division of Motor Vehicles. The Division of Motor Vehicles gets 2% for the license plate revolving fund, which is used to build the license plates every 5 years, and up to 2% for administration. So that leaves 54.5%. It goes to what's called a local government road and bridge fund, and then is distributed out to counties, townships, and cities by factors that are in the statute. So so part of it stays right at the county. Part of it comes in and is redistributed based on a formula that's, I guess, fairly complex, but it's right in the statute.
Thank you.
The total, I think the last part of your question, after you go through all of this and the funds are allocated by both of those methods, counties get about 67%, townships 17%, and municipalities 16%.
Representative Tolson, you're good to go. Additional question? Representative Pikert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a question for Mr. Howard. Do you have any specific numbers as to how many dollars of fines and overweight fees collected that go to the schools that a lot of people think really ought to go to the county and township roads? Do you have any numbers on that, or maybe Bob, Mr. Wilcox, might have some numbers there, too? I'm just curious.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Feikert, I don't remember what that is, but it's a considerable amount of money. Overweight vehicles, there's two separate fines. There's a fine, a criminal fine for it's a misdemeanor to operate a vehicle overloaded. Then there's a civil penalty, which is not a fine, but it's a penalty, and it's based on the amount that you're overweight. So, I mean, some of those get up to $10,000 a truck if they're really overloaded. So the civil penalties is the part that raises the most revenue, and it's that part which could, and I think should, go to roads and bridges. I tried that three or four times when I was working for the County Commissioners Association, and I always got accused of trying to take money away from the school kids. But the Constitution says all fines shall go to school districts in which they're collected, but it doesn't say anything about civil penalties. And, for example, the civil penalties that are collected by Game, Fish, and Parks for violation of their laws goes to Game, Fish, and Parks for maintaining wildlife and whatever. In environmental protection, there's civil penalties, and that goes to the department for cleaning up the environmental things. So there's a good argument that money should go for roads and bridges, but...
Just God love the process that everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Additional questions for Mr. Howard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we might as well have Mr. Bob Wilcox. As he's coming up here seeking the sympathy vote.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Bob Wilcox. I'm with the County Commission Association, and it is good to be back and see so many smiling faces and new faces, I might add, and welcome to those. As I said, I represent the County Commission Association in South Dakota, and we have 66 counties, obviously everyone knows that in the room, which all counties are our members. We are comprised of approximately 322 county commissioners, and this last election we had probably one of our largest turnovers. We are looking at 44 new commissioners coming on board. Our board of directors is made up of four executive board members and then a total of 14 members total. We geographically are divided into 9 districts, and this might be more information than you want to know, but 9 districts that throughout the state of South Dakota, all the counties belong to certain 1 through 9 of the districts. As Mr. Howard had indicated, our concerns this year obviously will be our roads, especially in the northeast part of the state. I think where they're lining up as they did last year is having another long, very cold and hard winter, which leads to a very, very wet spring. And if any of you have ever traveled up there last spring, you saw the devastation that those people endured, and I'm afraid it's just going to compound itself again this year. Property tax, obviously, as Mr. Howard indicated, is our primary funding of our roads, along with what we have the authority to impose a wheel tax. Presently, we've got approximately 42 counties that have imposed a wheel tax. Many have tried, and one thing about the wheel tax, it is referable, and therefore some of the remaining 18 counties, I believe, either have tried and it was defeated or have not tried at all. Of the 42, there's approximately 14 that have the with the wheel tax, you can have a maximum of $4 per wheel, or a total of $16 per vehicle, or $2. And currently we have 14 counties that are currently under the $2 cap. This year's pieces of legislation, obviously, if you haven't picked up by now, it certainly will be dedicated to the roads, if possible. We have some smaller cleanup language on some pieces of legislation as well that we will be bringing in front of the committee. And finally, our association and our office administers two catastrophic pools. One is the catastrophic legal expense pool. The other is the catastrophic county poor relief pool. We will be bringing you a piece of legislation specifically on the catastrophic legal side that Representative Feikert, who is a long-standing member, as in his former life as a Brown County Commissioner, sat on that board. I call it an advisory board of trustees. Representative Feikert, you might have another name, but that's one of the pieces specific that you folks will be seeing. So with that, I will sit back and entertain any questions you may have. And again, welcome to all of you, and it's good to have you back in here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Any questions for Mr. Wilcox? You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Benner.
You're just too quick, Mr. Wilcox.
Mr. Chairman, and this may not be the right forum, obviously. When you're new, I figure if I'm wrong, you'll just tell me and, you know, be quiet and wait, right? We throw the word opt-out out all the time. We've been hearing it since we got here the first day. And it occurs to me that maybe I don't even totally understand what that really means. So I'm wondering, would it be possible for Mr. Wilcox just to do a little overview of what the opt-out process is? For instance, let's just take the property tax arena and schools. And
if
we can't do this here's all I'm asking. We keep hearing, okay, this number is set at our levels. It's 4,000 something that each student, you know, we multiply the number of students in a school times that number, and that's how much money they should be getting. So the state amasses a pile of money and sends it out, and then the counties then make up the difference between that $4,000 and what the state sends with property taxes. But if they're still short, then the county can opt out. What's that mean?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Venner, I'd feel much more comfortable probably in having one of the school lobbyists address the fact on the school side. But certainly in your past life, you as a Hughes County Commissioner realize on our county side opting out, whether it be because we're capped on the property tax side, where we're opting out is, you know, for example, the regional jail that you and I were both part of it. You know the process. By ordinance, we go ahead and move to opt out, set a number, the amount that we want to shoot to opt out for, and years. And it certainly is referable. Now, if we've got to backfill education, if we would have to, in fact, do that, that's the same process we would take care, we would handle at the county side, whether it be law enforcement or whatever reason that we find that the need happens to occur either in Hughes County, Stanley County, or Brown County. So I'm sure I didn't answer the question as well in depth as you would like, but certainly, like I said, on the school side, you'd be much better off visiting with one of their lobbyists.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think I would just propose that possibly down the road we need somebody to talk about opting out in detail to us, just so that we really truly understand when we use that word and throw it out, we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, and we will bring it up with House leadership. We will get something put together so everybody can get that education. It's a very good question. Additional questions for Mr. Wilcox?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go right ahead.
On the wheel tax, Mr. Wilcox, if you had a semi, what would that cost? Like if there's 18 wheels or 16 wheels, is that still $2?
Thank you, Representative Tolson. Exactly, you're exactly right. It's $2 or $4, maximum of four wheels per vehicle. So do the math. There's a, on a semi, you're only doing four.
Additional questions? Thank you, Mr. Wilcox, and good luck on the Senate. Maybe they won't hurt you as bad.
Well, thank you. You guys were very kind. Thank you very much.
Next, we do have some testimony, a little briefing from the South Dakota County Officials Association. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Thank you for welcoming me today. Let me spend just a second introducing myself. I'm new here this year as well, but I look forward to getting to know you all. My name is Carrie Gonzer, and I am a Pure Native working as the executive director for the South Dakota Association of County Officials. That's a mouthful, so just know me as the county officials gal. I work with Bob. So we do a lot of fun things there. I'd like to introduce one other person today, Andrew Petrus. Andrew Petrus is our intern for the 2011 session, and he will be up at the Capitol as well. So if you have any questions, make sure you stop either Andrew or I, and we'll be able to help you out as much as we can. County officials are a little bit unique as compared to the towns and townships and the county commissioners in that we represent the auditors, treasurers, and registers of deeds who are the first line when a constituent comes into a courthouse and wants to talk about some of the pieces of legislation that we may be passing throughout the session. They'll be the ones that will actually administer any of the taxes. They'll be the ones that will help or record any of the deeds, and they'll also go through the budget on the auditor's side. So if you have any questions about those roles within the courthouse, please let me know. We'll get you as best information as we can on those things. We do have five bills coming in this session. Several of them are a little bit of cleanup and just making things run smoothly. Other ones are to help the process of going into the courthouse be efficient and effective for all of our constituents. We are looking to keep passport services in 18 different counties that are on the verge of losing those services, so that's an exciting bill for us. We are looking to revise the recording schedule for the Register of Deeds office, and I would absolutely like the chance to talk to you about that whenever you'd like. Our main purpose is to encourage technology within the courthouse and to keep the services of the courthouse, again, effective and efficient for people coming into the courthouse. And I'll entertain any questions if you have them.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate your honesty in giving your proposed legislation and not getting too carried away on the bills. That was very diplomatic of you. Any questions? Hearing none. Ms. Yvonne Taylor, South Dakota Municipal League. Yvonne is a good sport. Once in a while, she lets me call her Yvonne. We won't do that right now. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I was tempted to fake a limp on my way up as I forgot my neck brace. But I'm hoping you'll be kind anyway. And, Mr. Chairman, I have these handouts that if you would kindly pass them around and everybody just sign that line next to their name, we'll all get along fabulously if we can go down that route. I am with the South Dakota Municipal League. I am the executive director. That's what I do year-round. And it is the only organization I represent, just like Bob and Carrie and those folks that you just heard from. We are a membership organization. There are 310 cities and towns in South Dakota, and we represent nearly all of them. Our smallest member has maybe 10 people who live in it, and our largest, of course, has over 150,000. But I guess we're waiting for the final numbers to see just how big they have gotten recently. We have a 19-member board of directors. We divide the state into 10 districts, and they elect their own representation from each district. Included on our board is the mayor of Rhea Heights, and also included is the mayor of Rapid City. And so we do cover the full gamut of cities of all sizes. We have 11 affiliate groups, and in that way we almost create an organization that is a combination of the two county groups. We have the Municipal League itself, but then we also have the 11 affiliates that represent the Police Chiefs Association, the City Attorneys Association, the Finance Officers Association, and so those are all under one umbrella on the city side of things. You will see us up here on a vast array of issues. Utilities are a big thing with municipalities, our streets, other infrastructure, economic development, liquor licensing issues take up quite a bit of our time, open meetings and records, and a host of other issues. The one place you will never see us is the Appropriations Committee. We like to have our own tax revenues locally, and we like to control them locally, and we like the responsibility to impose them locally. We have about 12% of the property tax dollar that goes to municipalities, and by far the vast majority of our income comes from the locally assessed sales tax, and we get statewide about 70% of our revenue from that, and so it's an incredibly important thing from us, for us to be watching out on all kinds of sales tax issues. I look forward to working with the committee. There are several of you I haven't even quite met yet, and a couple of you are back, but if you have any questions for me, I hope you know we're always available and willing to assist.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Questions for Ms. Taylor? Thank you. I just want to remind this committee, if it wasn't obvious, I mean, that we can, having fun in a relaxed atmosphere is, to me, it's extremely important where people can be themselves. But let there be no mistake, when it comes time to get serious, this committee will, in fact, become serious. We're going to remind this committee about a couple other little minor details. If, in fact, we hear your cell phone going off, whether you're out in the audience or sitting up here on the committee, Representative Cronin will be the official sergeant-at-arms and impose whatever penalty or fine he would deem appropriate. Additionally, we will, at time to time, have your local dignitaries, family members, to come to this audience. Please just get my attention up here. You certainly do need to acknowledge them and welcome them to the committee. You certainly will be granted that personal privilege. I do not believe that we will be meeting Thursday. I think we will have a couple of bills pulling through. But schedule does have to be posted 2 days prior to us meeting. The next time we meet, I would ask you to get in that seat that you will be for the next 2 years. It makes Jeanette's job and my job a heck of a lot easier. When it comes time to officially voting, especially those individuals that start in the beginning of the alphabet, if you're uncomfortable on being that first or second person out voting, you are entitled to one pass, emphasis on that one pass, and then Jeanette will go back through and do that again. Representative Kolchek and Representative Shrimp are excused. They both have technical difficulties. Health has got them under the bad side of health. Prior to adjourning, we do, and I think it's very appropriate, we do have a couple of interns here. I believe they will be off and on through the entire session, working very hard for us. So if they could come up and introduce themselves, we can show our appreciation for their efforts as well. Yes, Cody, you may come.
What do you want me to say? Cody Clark, I'm intern for Representative Kirkby. Here.
Matt Blake, I'm also from Pierre, and I'm up with the Dems on the House side. So,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course.
Any other duties, business, responsibilities to come before local governments this morning? Representative Fiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And probably for our secretary, so that we know who wants the paper or the ring binders, and I, for one, want the paper. So,
right. I've got you down, and I've got all taken care of, and after today's meeting, you will all get your binders back.
Thank you, Representative Fiker. That's very, very good. Additional items of business. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, who was it?
Representative Munsterman, second by Representative Fikert. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. We're adjourned.